I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about Mohammedism being taught in our public schools. Mohammedism. That is, and when we say this now, it's important to understand, not real historic Mohammedism, but the indoctrination of Islam in our public schools, as though Islam is somehow or other a good thing. That is what's happening right now at a school in New Jersey. Jihad Watch has an article, the headline of which is, "New Jersey Public School Teaches Mohammed, Peace Be Upon Him, Is the Last and Final Messenger of God." Okay? Teaches, quote, "Mohammed, Peace Be Upon Him, Is the Last and Final Messenger of God," end quote. According to Robert Spencer, that is what they're teaching at a New Jersey public school. And Spencer says, quote, "We have seen this all over the country, and in every case, the school officials insist that the school is simply teaching the tenets of Islam, not proselytizing for them. But it is noteworthy that public schools never seem to teach, say, that, quote, Jesus is the Son of God and Savior of the world, without qualification. Whenever public schools teach about Judaism, Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, etc., they are careful not to teach what adherents believe as established fact. But when it comes to Islam, its tenets are being taught as established fact in public schools all over the country." Now, this is a very, very dangerous thing. And the reason I believe it's very dangerous is because Islam is not only not a religion of peace, it's actually a very, very dangerous religion. The real tenets of Islam and Sharia law and so on empower the Muslim to kidnap, rape, murder, enslave, and kill all non-Muslims. That's the reality. And that's the religion that has been practiced by the Arab world for 1400 years, since the days of Muhammad. The real history, the useful history of Islam, is not what's being taught to our kids in school. The real history of Islam would be like if it were being done accurately, if they were actually going to teach the kids something that they need to know and should know, they would be warning them about Islam just like they warn our kids about Nazi Germany or the gulags in the Soviet Union and the killing fields of Cambodia, etc. They would warn them that Islam is a very fierce, barbaric, savage belief system, and it has a long history of bloodshed, oppression, slavery, and mass murder. That's what our kids should be taught. But they're not being taught that. Okay? Now, here's another article from the Courthouse News Service, and it gives an account of, well, it says, quote, "A New Jersey middle school that caught flack last year for requiring students to watch videos on Islam. And they were apparently hit with a federal complaint." And in the complaint, talks about the videos that they had to watch. The first video, quote, "Intro to Islam," it says, "is set to a musical version of a poem that describes Christians and Jews as infidels and praises Muhammad in gruesome detail for slaughtering them," according to the complaint. Calling it a conversion video, Hilsenrath, that's Libby Hilsenrath, she was the parent who complained. She said the five-minute assignment was replete with biased, chastising statements encouraging the students to follow the Quran and become Muslim. Quote, Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the last and final messenger of God. One such unqualified message in the video states. All right, and then it goes on and says the video has references to killing infidels and this kind of thing, and encouraging the kids to learn how to pray like a Muslim. One quote says, due to the fact that these doctrinal messages calling for conversion to Islam were included in video format with vivid images and text, they possess greater communicative impact and are more likely to be accepted by the students. That's all part of the official complaint. Now, it's a federal complaint at this point. But this is really what's going on in the colleges and universities right now, this whitewashed version of Islam, where a lot of very significant details, details that are important, at least they're said to be important, by the people who are arguing morality in our country right now, they're often complaining about what's the number one issue? Racism and bigotry. The number one issue. And yet the fact that the Prophet Muhammad was one, he was a white man, as is written in the Hadiths, according to the Hadiths, Muhammad was a white man. He's repeatedly referred to as that white man in the Hadiths. He was a white man who owned black slaves. He called blacks raisin heads. He said they had heads that looked like a raisin. Literally, this is all part of Islamic writings, folks. These are all part of the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad. Muhammad, who was called a white man, if you go study Arabs, Arabs are often categorized as ethnically white. Of course, then there's a lot of interbreeding that goes on and through parts of Africa and the Middle East and that kind of thing. But the Arab world, when you're talking about pure Arabs, they are ethnically white. And that's the way they've always been categorized here in the United States. Now, in recent years, with all the political correctness and all of the race baiting that goes on and this kind of thing, and of course, the fact that the left now wants to promote Islam, they're trying to find ways to have Arabs designated in a different way so that they can be called non-white. And it's because of all the anti-white propaganda. And of course, they want to be able to promote Arabs as part of the radical leftist socialist agenda, and really Muslims as part of this leftist agenda and this kind of thing. And they keep trying to associate Arab Muslims as though they're somehow or other non-white, but nobody wants to talk about the history of the Prophet Muhammad, who is described in their own writings as a white man. He's called by them, that white man Muhammad, who openly taught that blacks are racially inferior. I'm not kidding, folks. This is real history. This is the history that they do not want people to know. Now, if they were going to teach the real history of Islam and the Prophet Muhammad, they ought to be teaching this front and center. This ought to be one of the first things that they're teaching based upon all of the social justice, you know, declarations about, you know, we've got to have racial equality and we're going to expose the truth and this kind of thing. Okay. Well, just go ahead and get the information out there. Now, there's a great video online from the website answeringmuslims.com. And this is part of Acts 17 Apologetics, answeringmuslims.com. And they've got a video called Muhammad, the White Prophet with Black Slaves. Muhammad, the White Prophet with Black Slaves. Okay? And then they show a bunch of quotes from the Hadiths where you have like a quote in the Hadiths that says, quote, who amongst you is Muhammad? At that time, the prophet was sitting amongst us, his companions, leaning on his arm. We replied, quote, this white man reclining on his arm. The man then addressed him, O son of Abdul Muttalib. The prophet said, I am here to answer your questions. And it goes on. Okay. And this is just one of a number of quotes. Then you have another quote from the Hadiths that says, quote, I saw the messenger of Allah with a white complexion and some white hairs. Al-Hasan bin Ali resembled him. Okay, the messenger of Allah, that's one of the titles of the Prophet Muhammad. and he had a white complexion. These are Islamic writings now. This is Islam. This is what Islam says about the Prophet Muhammad. Okay? I mean, it's something that all of these left-wing fanatics cannot deny. They don't want to deal with it. I mean, this information is actually well known. There's a number of websites that talk about this. Here's another quote that says that the prophet was white with an elegant face. Okay, narrated from Al-Jurari from Abu At-Tufal. I said to him, "Did you see the messenger of Allah?" He said, "Yes, he was white with an elegant face." This is how Muhammad is described. I mean, it's really incredible the deception that is going on in our country. And then you have all these other quotes that talk about, you know, literally the whiteness of his armpits. And then you have the fact that he owned a black slave. It says, quote, "I went to the house of the prophet and behold, Allah's messenger was staying in a mashruba, an attic room, and a black slave of Allah's messenger was at the top of its stairs. I said to him, 'Tell the prophet that here is Umar bin al-Khattab asking for permission to enter.'" So Muhammad owned black slaves. But are they going to teach this at Harvard? Are they going to teach it at Yale? Are they going to teach this at the New Jersey High School? Will the Jesuits teach this at Georgetown University with all their politically correct nonsense going on? You have another passage that says that Allah's messenger was on a journey and he had a black slave called Anjasha. Yeah, there's repeated passages, apparently. You can go watch this video, but repeated passages that he owned black slaves. It's also clear, I mean, there's a number of quotes where Muhammad is quoted for preaching absolute obedience from Muslims to their leaders, wherever their leaders are. And in a number of quotes, Muhammad says, "Even if your leader is a black slave whose head looks like a raisin, you should obey him." These are quotes from the Prophet Muhammad. He also said in another chapter that a country will never succeed, or what did he say? "Never will succeed such a nation as makes a woman their ruler." All right, so right there you have racism and misogyny right there. Just for those two characteristics were provably part of the philosophy, the worldview of the Prophet Muhammad. But how many teachers out there are actually going to teach this to the American people? This would be information that would be useful. That and the fact that the Islamic world is responsible for the enslavement of about 90%, it's estimated. And some people say it's even worse. Some people say it's as high as 95%. But the conservative number seems to be that Islam is responsible for the enslavement of about 90% of all of the blacks from Africa who have ever been enslaved in history. 90%. And that is an estimate that I've seen that estimate from a number of different sources here over the past few years. But at that, and the fact that Islam still owns millions of slaves across Africa, that they have hundreds of thousands of slaves in Saudi Arabia today, this is information that our children should be taught in our public schools and that should be mandatory. It ought to be mandatory to teach that the Prophet Muhammad openly supported the practice of slavery and that Islam has supported slavery throughout its entire history. And it should be taught that the only reason any Islamic country has given up slavery for the last 100 years, because a number of them have, well, they've given it up officially. What often happens is they claim to give it up officially to make the United States and Great Britain happy so that they can get trade deals and financial aid and all this other kind of stuff. And so they officially claim that they gave it up, but then it is generally believed that secretly, privately, they continue the practice of slavery, even to this day. Even to this day. This is what our kids should be taught in school. That's useful information. That is a useful warning that children who are growing up in the free world, I believe, have a right to hear. All right, let's go to our commercial break, and we will talk more when we come back right after this.
I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors, but now Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We're talking about how a New Jersey public school appears to be indoctrinating students with pro-Islamic materials based on the description that we're seeing here on Jihad Watch. Based on the description of the videos that the kids are being shown, not only are the videos pro-Islamic, but they're anti-Christian. They're anti-Christ, denouncing Christianity, lifting up Islam. So, and of course, we have seen this as the general character of any discussions from the establishment about Islam, are that Islam is something positive, Christianity really not that great. And so it's that was the whole 8 years of Barack Obama. And who knows how many people were put into power by his administration throughout the government, put into offices, given jobs. I mean, who knows how many people they got in there for the express purpose of promoting Islam, regardless of whoever the next president would be. And so this is why I think this kind of thing is still going on, because they have been enabled for years. I think even before Obama was president, even before that. All right. But I did want to mention the video, Muhammad, the white prophet with black slaves, that you can find on the Acts 17 Apologetics, their YouTube channel. Is presented by David Wood, who is described online as American evangelical missionary and Christian apologist. Now, I've seen David Wood give presentations a number of times on Islam. He really does seem to be an expert. I mean, he knows a lot of very detailed information. And the video, this particular video, is outstanding. It's really, really excellent. And he's actually kind of a funny guy. He's very knowledgeable, but he's also very humorous in, I think, a good way. But he clearly confronts Islam and exposes the hypocrisy, the lies, etc. And that video is an excellent one. That information should be taught to our kids, as I said before. That should be taught in our schools. Warnings about Islam should be taught. We should teach warnings about Islam just like we teach warnings about Nazism, just like we teach warnings about cigarette smoking and alcoholism, etc. It is a dangerous belief system that has wrought havoc in nations across the world for 1400 years. Yes, our young people should be properly educated about Islam, but this is not an education that's happening. This is indoctrination, brainwashing, and apparently, based upon these reports, an attempt to convert America's children to Islam. And how much further is this going to go? I certainly hope that the Trump administration will get wind of these things and take a stand to put a stop to it, to drive it out of our schools, because it shouldn't be in our schools. I mean, based on our founding documents, just based on the Declaration of Independence, which says very clearly that rights come from God, based on the laws of nature and of nature's God, that phrase is an ancient Christian phrase. And so the laws of nature on the one hand, the laws of God, the context, the original context, brethren, was the Bible. And you couldn't promote anything that openly contradicted God's law in the Bible. That was the original understanding of the Declaration of Independence. That's the incredible thing. And of course, that would push out communism, socialism, and Sharia law, and anything having any sort of attempt to indoctrinate our children in the schools based upon Islam, trying to bring in the Quran rather than the Bible. All of that should be pushed out. And of course, it's just a question of whether or not we will have leaders who will eventually do that, or if we're going to continue to go down this radical leftist path that seems bent on trying to bring in Sharia law sooner or later. What's interesting, many people have pointed to the Communist Control Act before. The Communist Control Act of 1954 outlawed communism back in the 1950s. Now today, we have Bernie Sanders, the out and proud socialist who is running for president. And you've got more and more people trying to promote socialism, which is simply a modified form of communism, perhaps a lighter form of communism, perhaps. But the Soviet Revolution was seen as a socialist revolution. Then the term communism came in, and that's a whole controversy, you know, about how those terms were used. We talk about that in our film on Frankenstein and the French Revolution. We talk a little bit about the history of communism versus socialism in that audio CD, because there's an interesting history there. Is there really a difference between one versus the other? And many people say, no, there's not really. You're just using different terms. But it's essentially the same thing. So, but are we going to have anybody in our government who's actually going to stand up for the original understanding? You know, something I learned here not long ago on this whole issue of the original understanding of things like Article 6 in the Constitution. This is a really fascinating history. Article 6 says that no religious test should be required for anybody to hold an office in the government of the United States. Okay, no religious test to be required. Yet there were religious requirements for people to hold offices all the way into the 1960s. Then they were shot down by the Supreme Court. Supreme Court said it's unconstitutional. That seems to make sense to a lot of people. But of course, you have to ask the question, wait a minute, if it's unconstitutional, how come you had states that were doing it all the way until 1961? Why did it go on for so long? And there's a very interesting paper written by the Harvard Review, actually a Harvard paper. I was surprised. But I was reviewing this not long ago. And essentially what they said was that the concept of a religious test was something different than how it is perceived, how it's interpreted by the courts today. A religious test was specifically an oath, a solemn oath that somebody had to swear. And that's what Article 6 does away with the swearing of an oath. And of course, they were thinking of things like the Westminster Confession of Faith, etc., and these other confessions where you had to take a solemn oath that you believed this and this and that, and etc., and they had this whole list of things that you had to solemnly swear you believed. And there were people who objected to it for a variety of reasons. So they wanted to get away from the swearing of the oath, but a religious test and a religious requirement apparently were not seen as the same thing. A religious requirement, in other words, it was okay to require somebody to be a Christian. That was okay. You just couldn't force them to swear an oath about it. Because the swearing of an oath is seen as, well, like if you're in a court of law, you know, you swear an oath. They didn't want, you know, being under oath is not the same as standing out and just talking to people out on the street. It's not perceived that way by law. And so they wanted to get away from the swearing of solemn oaths concerning matters of faith. That the only oath anybody would take is an oath to uphold the Constitution. And so that's a very interesting, fascinating study. I'm still gathering the details on that, but that's another one of the things that we're planning to talk about in our upcoming film on the true Christian history of America. All right, brethren, that is it for us today. We are out of time. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.